Today we're going to be looking at let go and let God. This is an overused Christian phrase that's not anywhere in the Bible. But it's a great thing to think about and to do. We're going to be looking at Matthew 6. If you've got a Bible, if you turn there, we're going to be reading it in a short while. But before I start on this, I wanted to just tell you something. Some of you may know that I do the teaching program or have been doing the teaching program for quite a while. So what you hear on a Sunday is normally things that God's been talking to me about and I write down. Sometimes God talks really clearly and it takes about half an hour to set this teaching plan up for the month. Sometimes he's a little bit quieter and it takes hours. When David came, I was so pleased that he was going to take over the teaching program. And then he said, no, I don't want to do it yet. Give me 2 months. And I thought, oh, 2 more months of doing this. So I sat down for 4 hours and wrote nothing on the page. And I really mean that. I went to bed with nothing written down. Went to work the next day, came home, and on the walk back, I thought this. Can anyone tell me what this is? Dead battery. It's what you get if you've got a phone and your battery's going low, the dead battery. And you're, no, what have I got? I've got to plug it into a power source. I've got to do something to get some charge in. And that was me. I was absolutely empty. I was spent and I really struggled. And I was hoping that I weren't alone when I wrote this teaching program. Last week we heard about being unplugged and running on empty. And today we're going to be looking at letting go and letting God take control. So if you've got your Bibles with you, let's turn to Matthew 6 and we're going to start reading from 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Can any one of you, by worrying about anything, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. I'm sure some of us realize that each day has enough troubles of its own. So let's look at letting go. I've listed some of the really normal things, the common things that people struggle to let go of. The first one has to be money. It's the biggest one. It's the one that really rules your life. For those of you who know, we have a CAP club here. And we support CAP in Thamesmead as well. Money ruins lives. Debt ruins lives. Money is good. Don't say money's not good. Money is good. We all need money. We all have to have money to do things that we need to do. But it's when it starts to drive you, when it starts to motivate you, when all your efforts go into getting it, that it can become a real chore, a burden, and a pain that needs to be given away, needs to be let go. I'm sure that most people here will say, "No, that's not me. I'm not living for money." But what about your job? Are you striving for that next promotion? Are you telling small fibs so that you get the promotion over this person here? Your house. Do you want your house just a little bit bigger? Just to compete with the people down the road. Your car is not the really modern one. You know, the one with the little sat-nav in it. And the one that talks to you, telling you your door's shut. That's important. You need that to get from A to B. Your TV. Is it the 75-inch widescreen? Or is it just a 20-inch one? Stuff. We're ruled by stuff. Many of you would have known the story of the rich ruler, where the rich ruler walks up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know what to do. Love God, love your brother, don't kill, don't steal, don't cheat, don't do this." He said, "Excellent. All that I've done since I was a boy. Am I going to heaven?" And Jesus says, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." This is the Bible. This is Jesus. So all of you, sell all that you have. Is that what Jesus meant? Or did he say it to this ruler because money was ruling him? We're supposed to have money, but it's when it rules us we need to let it go. The next big problem that we struggle to let go of is hurts. You just need to turn on the telly to see it in our society, where people are no longer going around the back of bike sheds to have a fight. They're bringing knives to school and guns to school because of the hurt, the terrible, horrible thing that someone said about their mum. So what? It's just words. The insults really hurt. If you're told enough times that you're not good enough, that you're not as good as your brother, that you'll never make it, you start to believe it and they start to eat away at you. We need to let them go. Hurts come in lots of different ways. Insults. Betrayal. Betrayal in relationships are hard. And I've said at the front a number of times that that's something that I still struggle with. And they turn into anger. And anger, when left unchecked, can turn into bitterness. And bitterness eats away until hatred is born. And when you look back at hatred, it started with something so stupid and so minor that you just wonder how on earth it's turned into what it is. Hatred never appears. It always grows. And we need to hit it. We need to beat it. We need to let it go and give it to God before it turns into hatred. Ephesians 4 says this: "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Not because that's what we need to do, but because of this, that we should be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving everyone as God forgave us. If I look back at my life, I look at what I used to be and think, wow, God loves me. And this lady's laughing. She must know what I was like. I was dreadful. We look back and we're horrible people. We used to do nasty things. I had a big friend, and I used to bully people that were bigger than me. And when they turned round and saw me and then saw him, they'd walk away. I felt safe with him. I was horrible. But God has forgiven me. We should also forgive others. We shouldn't let hurts eat away at us. Control. We should let go of our control. We all like a bit of control, don't we? We all like to know we're in control of situations, and when situations come, we want to know when they're going to happen and how they're going to happen and how we can make sure that they go in our favour. We all like to be in control. In the modern world, we also like to be in control of the uncontrollable. I'm not specifically talking about ladies, because men are doing it too. Anti-wrinkle cream. We're all going wrinkly. Anti-wrinkle cream, anti-aging serum. You see this 16-year-old woman on telly putting anti-aging cream on. Why? We want to turn back time. We want to control the uncontrollable. People are even planning their funeral, their order of service, the songs that will be sung, the people, what they will be wearing, what they will be saying at their funeral. We want to control even when we're dead. That's not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be in any control and we should let God puppet us like we're on strings and have no control at all. But it does mean we need to prefer God's plans to our own. I'm always shocked. I've said before, my favourite character in the Bible, my favourite person in the Bible is Peter, but I'm always shocked when Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Have you heard that phrase? What did he do? Did he murder people? Did he slaughter families? It must have been shocking what he did for Jesus to say, "Get behind me, Satan." For those of you who don't know what he did, Jesus was predicting his death and saying that he's going to go to the leaders and go to the teachers and they will punish him and they will put him to death. And Peter said the most awful words, the most horrid thing ever. He said this. Peter took him to one side and rebuked him, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." What a dreadful thing to say. He was being kind. He was being merciful. He was trying to say to Jesus, "This won't happen." He was trying to be in control of a situation that he had no right to be in control of. And Jesus said this. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." But then he said this. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." We love to be in control. But when God says we should do something, we should just do it. Don't worry about the control. Don't worry about the fear. Don't worry about the money, the consequences of doing it. We should just go and do it. Because that's what Jesus tells us to do. Any obstacle will be dealt with because Jesus has asked us to do it. And the last thing that we struggle as a nation, and probably as Christians too, to let go of is fear. Not fear of the dark or fear of spiders. There aren't any, are there? But fear of other things. Not good enough. Well, I'm never going to be good enough, am I? I'm just me. Failure. Inferiority. David, look at him. He's a legend. I'm never going to be as good as that. Humility. I should have added humility on here. But we feel inferior to people around us, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't. Peter, when he first met Jesus, Jesus told him to throw the nets into the other side of the boat, and they caught so much. And Peter came to him and said, he fell at his knees at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, I am a sinful man." Peter knew that he was a sinful man. He knew that he was wretched. He knew that he was absolutely unworthy of Jesus. He was inferior. He was a failure. He was not good enough. Brilliant. Once you learn that, move on. If Peter had stayed there thinking that he was not good enough, that he was inferior, that he was a failure, he would have done nothing more. But by the grace of God, when he let it go and when he said, Jesus, you love me, that's all I need, he could move on. So why am I talking about these sort of things? The struggles that we have to let go when we're talking about being unplugged and not charged. Well, it's these sort of things that hold most of us back. It's these sort of things where our efforts go into and we start to fade. And we start to get weary and we start to get tired of trying to control, trying to get more money, trying to get over our fears. And Jesus says, let go of them and let me control. Let God, money, God will provide. It's not a flippant statement. It's not a statement that's twee. God will provide because I've got money, I can say that. It's not what it means. Philippians 4 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in heaven. Do you think heaven's short of money? Do you think heaven's short of resources? Hurts. God is a God of compassion. 2 Corinthians 1 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and a God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. The troubles and the pain that we go through are not in vain. We have a reason for them. And that's so that we can comfort others. Being a Christian never means that we are going to be absolutely free from any sort of problem and pain and suffering. But it does mean that there's a purpose for it. Control. Follow God, not follow the world. Matthew 16 says, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow him. At the time, they probably didn't understand what that meant, to take up your cross. But we do. To give our lives, everything we are, every day. And fear, you are good enough. Jesus said so. You are a child of God. You are good enough. You are heirs to heaven. Galatians 3 says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For all are one in Christ. None of us here is better than anyone else. If you've got an inferiority, if you've got a fear that you're not good enough, you're wrong. Because Jesus makes us good enough. Jesus made you good enough. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's so easy to say, let go. Let go of my worries. Let go of my struggles. Let go of the things that are eating away at me. It's really easy to say that. But it's a different thing trying to do it. If there are things in our hearts that we struggle to release, if there are things in our hearts that we struggle to give over to you fully, I ask that you reveal it by your Holy Spirit now, that you move amongst us, that you teach us the things that we need to push over. An anger towards someone that did something years ago. A bitterness, a hurt, a struggle that we're still struggling with, that we've never brought to you in prayer. Give us your peace, your grace, your understanding, and help us release it and giving it to you. If that means talking to someone, praying with someone, then so be it. But Lord God, I pray that you move amongst us, that you teach us your ways, that we can worship you in spirit and truth as we release what's grieving us. Amen.